Well, good morning, and we have hippity-hoppitied off to a different land indeed. We are talking about our book picks as we do each and every Tuesday on this program. We're knee-deep into autumn, and with the holidays just ahead, we have plenty of great book suggestions this morning. Joan Grenier and Nikki Marion join us this morning to present a fine list of books that will have you interested, and we certainly will talk about them in great detail. Joan and Nikki, welcome. Thank you very much for being here. It's great to see you.
Great to see you, Joe.
Thank you so much.
Well, nice to have you here. Nice to meet you and to have you. Of course, Joan, always great to have you back. So who would like to begin?
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
We didn't. But Joan, start us off.
Okay. If you insist. Well, over the weekend, I've read Gloria Steinem's My Life on the Road, which just came out. I loved it. I guess I'm of that age where she was so important to women's movement and my decade and all the decades after that. We learn about her early childhood. Her father took her traveling quite a bit. Now and for decades, she's been traveling half the year. So that's the title of the book is about that. But it starts with her father. But eventually her mother doesn't do as well with this gypsy life her father has created. And she has a breakdown, and Gloria has to take care of her in high school. But the book is it's a little jumbled because there's lots of anecdotes. That's what I wanted to say, right? Anecdotes.
Right.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
All good.
And the stories are just wonderful. It's about her life as an organizer and where organizing comes from, the bottom up. She talks a lot about, in the beginning, the National Women's Conference in Houston, 1977, which I didn't remember. But she also talks about talking circles and a non-hierarchical way of organizing. And this particular conference, she was very much involved with. There were 2,000 elected delegates and 18,000 observers debating and formulating platforms for women's rights. She also talks a lot about spending time in Indian country, where she learned a lot from the way that Native peoples function, whether in this country or in other countries. She has very close friendship with Wilma Mankiller, who was the first woman chief of the Cherokees. And it's just lots of stories like that. She doesn't drive, so she also talks a lot about cab drivers and stewardesses, which is now flight attendants, but were originally stewardesses and women that had very restricted things that they had to do and appear in their appearance. So I just think this is going to be a great book for women. It's just a marvelous story.
I love the book. Really.
You read it too?
Yeah, I did. It's amazing.
It's not chronological, but
it still
brings you into these amazing stories.
Really great stuff. My Life on the Road by Gloria Steinem. So, Nikki, you're up next.
All right. Well, I was really interested to hear your conversation a little bit earlier this morning about transgender experiences in schools, because my first pick is by Alex Gino, and their book is called George. And it's this really monumental, pioneering book for the children's literature world. It's a middle grade novel, so it's for students who are about 8 to 12, or children who are about 8 to 12. And it's about a transgender fourth grader who is known to everyone as George, but she really feels that, and she knows that her identity is truly Melissa. And everything really comes to a head when Melissa tries to audition for the role of Charlotte in the school production of Charlotte's Web, but her teacher and her classmates kind of find problems with that. And it's a really incredible story, and it really, trans experiences haven't been documented in this way for this audience before. There's a real gap in children's literature here that's being filled with this novel, and we actually are very honored and thrilled to have Alex Gino at the Odyssey Bookshop next Monday, November 9th, in conversation with Leslea Newman. So this is a really important book for us and for children's literature.
Good stuff. It is the title of the book is George by Alex Gino. Joan.
I'm going to go to Trace, Memory, History, Race, and the American Landscape by Laurette Savoy, who will actually be with us on November 10th at 7 p.m. Laurette teaches at Mount Holyoke College in environmental studies, trained as a geologist, and she has been persistent in getting this book out. She had 66 rejections before Counterpoint finally published this book. It is an amazing book, and it's receiving all kinds of praise, including from one of my favorite writers, Terry Tempest Williams, Starred Kirkus, lots of bookseller reviews. And it's a brilliant and unique musing on American history and landscape. She's a mixed-race woman, and this is her search for family ancestors. And it leads her to many landscapes, including the borderlands of the Southwest, the Piedmont, the Grand Canyon, Lake Superior, Washington, D.C., and her birthplace in California. Inevitably, the role of race in American history is part of her family's history. She details the inaccuracies, silences, and omissions throughout American history, including the Black Codes in Washington, D.C. and South Carolina, land grabs from Mexico and Native peoples, segregation at Fort Huachuca, which is where her parents were stationed during World War II, and the disappearances of African American towns in Oklahoma. It's an important book as we struggle to understand and overcome the wrongs of American history and the impact on our current lives. I just really love this book, and I love Laurette, too. So I'm hoping that we can put this book in people's hands.
And the event is?
November 10th at 7 p.m.
November 10th, 7 p.m. The name of the book is Trace, Memory, History, Race, and the American Landscape by Laurette Savoy. Nikki.
All right. My next pick is Orbiting Jupiter by Gary D. Schmidt, who is a two-time Newbery Honor-winning author. And again, I was lucky enough to host him at the Odyssey. He also went to a bunch of school visits, and he is just such an incredible storyteller. He had auditoriums full of seventh graders completely enraptured, just telling them true stories. And really, his storytelling in this book is no exception. This book is narrated by 12-year-old Jack, whose family takes in a 14-year-old foster son, whose name is Joseph. And really, it's Joseph's story. He has come from some really hard times. His father is abusive. He's just lost someone that he loves quite dearly, and he also has an infant daughter named Jupiter, where the title comes from, about orbiting Jupiter and his quest to truly find his daughter. And he really tries to find her and really takes on fatherhood, even though he is so young. And it's a story about how Jack sees Joseph and how much Joseph can teach him about all different kinds of love, about friendship, and about all the sacrifices that those two things can require sometimes. And we have plenty of signed copies at the Odyssey because Gary was so nice enough to come and share his book with us.
Gary Schmidt is the author. The name of the book is Orbiting Jupiter. Orbiting Jupiter by Gary Schmidt.
The next book is Soup for Syria, Recipes to Celebrate Our Shared Humanity. And we will be having an event with this book, which is published by Interlink Books in Northampton, on November 19th at 7. We're going to start at 6:30, actually, because myself and other people are preparing some soups for people to taste from the cookbook. But this
yummy.
Is a very special event. This book, the proceeds are going to the UN High Commission on Refugees for the Syrian refugees. It was put together, collected and photographed by Barbara Abdina Massad, who lives in Beirut and has been driving out to a Syrian refugee camp 45 minutes from her house, bringing food and wanted to know what else she could do. And she, along with Michelle Musabek, put together this cookbook where they've asked celebrity chefs to donate recipes. So one of the first ones was Otam Udalingi. Anthony Bourdain is in here. Mark Bittman is in here. Alice Waters, et cetera, et cetera. And we also will have a Hampshire College economics professor, Omar Dai, speaking about Syria. He's Syrian, and he's very up to date on what the situation is there, along with Michelle Musabek, who is the publisher of Interlink Publishing. And you probably remember Hannah, who was at the Odyssey.
Absolutely.
This is her dad,
oh,
Michelle.
Very cool.
He's the publisher. So it has photographs, recipes. I had one customer who purchased 9 for Hanukkah presents, and we've already sold dozens of these. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful book, and it's a good cause.
Soup for Syria, Recipes to Celebrate Our Shared Humanity. And the event, again, is
November 19th, starting at 6:30 with some soup tasting.
Excellent. November 19th, 6:30, and we'll give you the address, the web address at the end of the segment where you can find out information if the dates slip your mind, which I know they do in my case, so I'll just make sure that we have them for you. Nikki.
All right. My next selection is The Marvels, which is written and illustrated by Brian Selznick. And he is just a children's literature creator that I absolutely adore. This book is created in his signature style. The first part of the book is a series of wordless spreads that follows the story of the shipwreck of this young boy and how he becomes a leading actor in London.
Yes.
And it follows his descendants called the Marvels, and they become this incredible theatrical family. And this wordless series of illustrations ends on this cliffhanging note. And then the story jumps about a century to the 1990s, where a young boy named Joseph has just escaped from boarding school, and he's in London trying to find his uncle, who is obsessed with the Marvels and lives in this very strange house that seems like it's transplanted from the 19th century, and he wears this all historical garb, and it's Joseph's kind of quest to find out the Marvels, what the mystery of the Marvels, and to unravel what he thinks that they might be his ancestors. But it's a beautifully crafted book. The ending is incredibly heartwarming and lovely, and it's a gorgeous book too. The cover is this beautiful rich indigo. It's got gold on it. It's gold gilded edges, and we actually have signed first editions of the book at the Odyssey, and it's really the perfect holiday gift for anyone who loves a good story and who loves a beautiful book.
What was the title of his first book that I love so much?
The Invention of Hugo Cabret.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which won a Caldecott Medal.
Yeah.
And he's an amazing.
He is.
Wonderstruck is another.
Wonderstruck
book.
Is the second, and
which
is,
I like a lot.
This book is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you're transfixed by it, and it's amazing. He was on the book show with us, and is an amazing,
wonderful,
amazing writer and illustrator. It's The Marvels, written and illustrated by Brian Selznick.
How much time do we have?
You're okay. You got about 6 or 7 minutes.
All right. Well, I have two novels. And they couldn't be more 180 degrees apart. The first one is Howard Frank Mosier, God's Kingdom. Reading Howard Frank Mosier's novels always leaves me with a longing to head to the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. Mosier not only captures the beauty of the landscape, but he also introduces us to the local folks of small-town New England. He reveals a place and a time, the 1950s, where most people are acquainted with each other, family ties are strong, and yet there's still long-held secrets, and the idyllic scenery can cover up a ruthless and murderous past. And whether Mosier is describing hunting for deer or a local baseball contest, the efforts to organize a furniture factory, or the hideous exploits of the Ku Klux Klan, the reader is mesmerized by the storytelling prowess of a remarkable writer. He was with us not too long ago, so we do have signed copies. The second novel, which I'll just touch on briefly, is the novel that everybody's talking about, City on Fire.
No.
Have you read it yet?
I am about 200 pages into it, which...
Well, you still have 700.
Right, so that's impressive. Like,
I was about to say, so...
You're on the introduction.
Yeah. People who don't know, I haven't finished the first chapter yet, but I'm enjoying what I'm reading.
Well, I think it is an amazing book, but it is New York City, the 1970s. It's gritty. There's drugs and drifters, and bikers and bankers and a down and out journalist, punk band. It's a scene I didn't know. You know, I'm a little older than that punk scene, but there's some very obscenely rich folks. It is compulsive reading, though. It's hard to put down. And when you finally finish it, you really want to talk to somebody about it. So, Joe, I hope you call me when you finish.
Don't worry, I will. No, I'm headed away for a few days, and that's like my mission is to finish.
And
it,
he did so. Come, so we do have some signed first editions. But this is the book
I
that
actually got mine from me. That's where I got my signed copy from you.
I mean, there's a lot of buzz about this book.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah. I'm enjoying what. And you're absolutely right. The buzz is enormous. City on Fire by Garth Risk-Hallberg. Right. Garth Risk-Hallberg is the author of City on Fire. Those are the two novels. So, Nikki, we leave it to you.
Oh, dear. Well, my next selection is my one picture book selection. I love picture books, but this one is just fantastic. It's called Leo, A Ghost Story, and it's written by Mac Barnett and illustrated by one of my favorite up-and-coming illustrators, Christian Robinson. And he's been getting some wonderful attention from lots of different American Library Association committees. Last year, Josephine did really well, and I hope this year, if not Leo, then Last Stop on Market Street, I hope we'll get some attention. But this book is about a ghost, and he's lived alone in a house for a long time, and he's kind of lonely. So when a family comes in, he's very excited, and he brings some honey toast and some mint tea to them. But the problem is he's invisible. The family can't see him. So they're a little bit understandably perturbed when they see, you know, this floating tray of toast and tea.
A bit of a problem. Sure.
And this really, their reaction is kind of hurtful to poor Leo. So he decides to go off into the world and be a roaming ghost. And in his travels, he finds this lovely young girl named Jane, and she can see him, but she mistakes him for her imaginary friend. So there's really this wonderful signature hilarity of Mac Barnett that's just encaptured by Christian Robinson's illustrations. And it's a very fun book, and Leo comes in and saves the day at the end. There's a robbery, and Leo comes in, and there's a twist that involves some classic ghost garb that I'm sure all of us are familiar with, especially with Halloween this past weekend.
That's right.
So it's a lovely book.
Leo, A Ghost Story, written by Mac Barnett and illustrated by Christian Robinson. And you have one more.
I do have one more. This is my favorite young adult book that I've read this fall. It's called Dumplin' by Julie Murphy. And this is a book that I actually just could not put down. I had to read it all the way through because the voice of the protagonist, Willow Dean Dixon, is just so absorbing and so funny and so critical and so confident. It's a lot of different things going on at once, and it's tender and just really poignant. Willow Dean is a self-proclaimed fat girl, and her mom runs a pageant in Texas, and Willow Dean decides to enter for a lot of different reasons, but and this is her journey. It's about her relationship with her best friend. It's about her relationships with some potential romantic interests, but it's really about Willow Dean's relationship with herself and her body and her identity and how she knows that society views and sometimes detests her body. And she's really self-critical, but she's also really confident. It's a self-reflexive book, and it's just really, really an incredible read. And she'll grab you right in with her voice and her snarky confidence.
Snarky confidence.
Snarky confidence.
Dumplin' by Julie Murphy. Real quick, just to go over a couple of the events coming up. First of all, our good friend Archer Mayer is...
Tomorrow night. Yes.
Yeah. The company she kept, Archer Mayer, will be as a great
novel.
I've
just started reading it.
Really
it's,
good.
Yes.
It's very, very good. Also, you mentioned Lorette Savoy on the 10th of November. And then also the Soup for Syria event, which is on the 19th, which will be very cool.
Alex Gino will be at the Odyssey Bookshop with Leslie Ann Newman at 6 p.m. on November 9th, which is next Monday.
All kinds of very, very cool stuff, and you can find out more by going to the website. It's odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com. And for goodness sakes, why stop there? Why don't you visit them? They're right on 9 College Street in South Hadley, Massachusetts. And we were doing this event with you guys a couple weeks ago, and it was great. I got there early, and I just got to go over and spend like 2 hours in the store. It was like, it was awesome.
Great.
Wonderful.
Very and you were wonderful with
Margaret Atwood.
Senior that person no one knows.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, she was great.
No name.
She was very funny.
Yeah, she's very
she's
funny.
Hilarious.
Very, and it was a great interview and very giving.
And we have signed first editions of that book.
Terrific. And a great book, too. So, she's coming up on the book show.
I hope you come back and do that again. That was fun.
Whenever, just invite me. it's odysseybks.com. Odysseybks.com. Joan and Nikki, thank you very much. It's so great for you guys to schlep over here and bring all the books, and I appreciate it.
Well,
it's always
thank
great
you.
To see
for
you.
Having
thank
us.
You so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.